Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I am here again for some more fun this week. I feel like I've almost fallen into a scheduled pattern where one week we release something for the Fandom Nexus, and the other week we release something on watching movies with my pastor. So I'm consistent. I'm getting something released every week. It's just not always on the same podcast. So if you want to have some fun with me, you have to make sure you're downloading, listening to both podcasts. This past week on Watching Movies with My Pastor, I released playing Final Fantasy VII Remake with my wife, and she did have some fun with it. If you'd like to listen to that one, check it out. I will warn y'all that I did not edit out any language. I tried to yell bleep at one point when an S-bomb gets dropped. Next time I'll probably edit a bit more. I don't know, but I'm kind of testing the waters on that podcast to see what people are willing to put up with, because some movies are going to have a little bit of content, and I may have a little audio from that bit. So make sure you're checking out both podcasts and enjoying them both, because I make them for your enjoyment. I'm having fun making them, and I'm having fun making them for you, and I want you to be able to have some fun. And so please do go and enjoy and have something to listen to. That way I feel like I'm doing my job, right? You get something. So I know it's been a little while. We've got some more content from Planet Comic Con I want to get to that I might get into today with Melody Britt, the voice of She-Ra from She-Ra, Princess of Power. I did sit in on her panel, got some audio there, which I would like to share with you. But before I get to that, we had the Summer Games Fest that happened last Friday, and I want to go over some of the announcements that were made, and a lot of focus on some Square Enix announcements, because they had a lot of them, and I've become quite the fan of Square Enix, I guess, lately, with playing all these Final Fantasy games. So I'm going to go over a lot of that, so we'll probably have a lot of news, and depending upon how long that takes, we'll see if we can get into that audio with Melody Britt. But either way, we're going to have some fun together, because that's what we do. And I'm so thankful that you are here, that you downloaded the show, and that you are listening to it. And I hope wherever you're at, you're enjoying what you're doing. If you're at work, I'm hoping this makes your day a little better, you know, and you happen to enjoy your day at work while you are listening to the show. That is part of my goals. It really does help me out listening to shows. I know a podcast when I'm driving, or, you know, certain jobs I've had, I don't really get to listen to podcasts necessarily in my line of work now, because I have to hear what I'm working on. But I mean, when I was driving as a courier and doing Uber, it was nice to have a podcast to listen to. So if you're doing something like that, I am thankful that you are listening to me, and I'm hoping that I'm making your day go a little quicker, a little more fun, and that sort of a thing. So that's kind of where we're at. But hey, welcome to June. I don't think I've gotten to say that to you. It is now we're getting into the summer months. It's not officially summer yet, but I want to welcome you to it. This is part of the better parts of the year where it's going to be warm, because I'm tired of the cold weather. I really did get tired of it. So what have I been watching? Well, I just watched Mission Impossible 2. I'm trying to catch up. I guess there's 7 movies now, and the 8th one in the theaters. Is that how far we are? My goodness, I cannot keep up with this franchise. I know I've watched probably at least 4 movies, but I'm backing up and rewatching. because I kind of hadn't forgotten what happened in some of the other ones, and I don't know that's really important. In fact, two introduced Anthony Hopkins as sort of an Emmett-like character, strangely, and we got away from that Kittredge fella that we met in the first Mission Impossible movie, which I believe he comes back. I don't know if Anthony Hopkins comes back as a character, but I mean, it's very strange. This movie, when I was watching it again, it felt like it was trying really hard to be a Pierce Brosnan era James Bond movie. Just the style of it at the beginning, and then it kind of settled in, and Ethan Hunt started acting like Ethan Hunt from the first movie again. But it really felt like it went astray. Like they started writing a James Bond movie, and somebody said, "Hey, we need another Mission Impossible movie." And like, oh well, let's shift gears, writer, and we'll change the name over. And you know, it's a very strange movie, and it's John Woo directed, so it's got a very particular style, which I kind of like. It's fun. It's very cheesy, but I do enjoy it. But that's one of the things I've been watching this week, other than Daredevil Reborn, which I don't think I got to an episode this week. What have I been playing? I don't feel like I've gotten a lot of time to play a lot of games here this past week. Of course, I'm still working my way through Final Fantasy V slowly. I should have been finished with it by now. But there was a sale going on for the Summer Games Fest, and I saw Star Wars Dark Forces, where they've remastered it for PS4 and PS5. I saw that was really cheap, and I went ahead and picked it up. And so I couldn't help myself. I started playing with it, and boy, the memories I had, because I used to play this on the PlayStation. I don't recall if I have it on the computer or not. But I do recall having it on the PlayStation, and that's where I first completed it. I think I beat it a couple of times. And it's a pretty faithful remastering. Even the music, they've kept it running through a MIDI player, which you have two different choices of the MIDI player, and one of them kind of glitches a little bit. I've noticed on sometimes, but I bet that happened on the PC. One of them does sound a lot more what I'm used to hearing on the PlayStation, so I'm using that one. But that's the one that I've heard glitching. But when I switch it to the other MIDI player, it just sounds, I know it's a little bassier, but the music doesn't sound quite the same. But I mean, it's just great hearing all the old quotes like, "Hey, you don't belong in this sector," or whatever, or "You're not authorized here. Halt," and all the other things stormtroopers and imperial troopers and commandos and stuff will yell at you. It's nice doing all that and playing the game again, and also having it adjusted for modern first person style gaming, where it's a lot easier to aim because you can aim on your stick. And so I'm kind of moving right along through it and finding it a little easier than it used to be, because I don't have to like hit separate buttons and then push another thing trying to raise my aim up. So like stepping out of a fight and like have to adjust my aim, then come back and hope my aim is there. Now I can kind of get into the fight and aim at something. I can strafe around and aim. So it's been a little easier, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you haven't played Dark Forces before, or even if you had back in the day, I definitely recommend this as a pickup. It's great fun, and it's very inexpensive for at least a little while. I don't know how long this sale lasts for the Summer Games Fest sale, but there's a lot of different things they put out there. But when I saw this, I was like, okay, I've been waiting for this one to be cheap, as cheap as it is, before I picked it up. Because I actually do still have my PlayStation disc, and if I wanted to, I could play it on the PS3 there in the living room. But it is nicer to have the reworked controls. It has been fun. So that's what I've been watching and playing. Hey, what are you watching and playing? Send me an email, podcast@airlandpodcast.com. Or hey, you know what? Join our Facebook group, where you can quickly and easily share things there. The group is a lot easier to share things than the fan page. We do have a fan page that you can like us, but it's easier. You can actually start a post in the group and you can start a conversation. Go on and jump in there and share some stuff of what you've been watching. I try to put some prompts in there weekly for what you've been enjoying this week or anything like that. So yeah, come and join us and have some fun. Come into the group and talk with us. It's part of the fun. Make sure you're sharing the show and sharing the Facebook group and stuff like that as well. Alrighty, but you know what? We usually don't do a news thing, but today is special.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the Summer Games Fest. I've got a list from Polygon. I got a few stories off of Polygon's website here that I've found some other things I found to be quite interesting. Other than, of course, the release of the Nintendo Switch 2 went off pretty well, I guess, last week. And there were people, of course, who were interested in having it. And so they can go and have their fun. I am not really interested, although there is an article about GameStop will give you up to $175 for your old Switch when you reserve a Switch 2. Well, we're past the point of reserving a Switch 2. Now you can buy it. But $175 doesn't quite cover enough to get the cost of a Switch 2. So not going to be doing that right now. I'm having fun with my PlayStation 5, so I think I'm good. So but let's go over some of the things that was spoken about or announced during the Summer Games Fest. The biggest one, Resident Evil Requiem. And as the game announcement video came up, and you can find this all on YouTube, the queue of Requiem was kind of making it look like a numeral 9. Now, those who are fans of the series know that the Resident Evil and the subtitles that they're now using for Resident Evil games, I guess they've been doing it since 7, you know, having subtitles, they'll find a way to have like a Roman numerals of what number in the series this would be within the subtitles. This time, for the word Requiem, they just put a regular number 9. So that's been kind of neat. Now, we don't know a whole lot of this. It's supposed to be like a big shift, and we're actually going back into Raccoon City, what's left of it. Expected to launch February 27th, 2026, so it's quite a ways off on PlayStation 5, Windows PC, Xbox Series X. Now, there was talk that we might be seeing Leon and Chris and some other old characters showing up again. We did not get a look at them at all, though, in this little announcement thing. But we see this little woman who is an FBI agent who apparently has been doing a lot of study in bioweapons of some sort, which is kind of a focal point, I guess, in the Resident Evil series. And she is sent to investigate something very, very vague. All we know is like, hey, it's the 9th game of the Resident Evil franchise. Those of us who are fans of that franchise, of course, are interested in checking it out. All righty. So Like a Dragon, a Virtua Fighter developer, Ryuga Gotoku. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher his name. Ryuga Gotoku Studio. He announced Stranger Than Heaven. It's set in the early 20th century. It's coming at least through Sega. I don't have much detail on what systems it will be for because it doesn't say on this little thing here. I'm not really going to hit buttons on these trailers in here to get any more information than if I haven't watched it previously. Scott Pilgrim X. Scott Pilgrim is back in a video game form in a new project from Tribute Games, the developer behind the beloved beat-em-up Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. This is expected coming out 2026. I do own a copy of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I don't think that I've gone through and play it yet. Tribute Games also, they're some of the ones behind the Super Nintendo. Oh, golly. This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. That's how I ended up saying Super. I was trying to say Shredder's Revenge. And also there's a Marvel game, which we'll talk about later, that they've been working on, that they did some extra announcements. Mina the Hollower, release's date has been announced as October 31st. This is from the Shovel Knight developer, Yacht Club Games, and very neat stylistic. Lego Voyagers had a reveal trailer. This is from publisher Annapurna Interactive, and this is a two-player co-op adventure that's all about building spaceships, excitement, and friendships, they say. It's playing, of course, it's Lego, so it's always fun to play with other people. Onimusha Way of the Sword, which I think we knew was coming if we've been paying attention. This is a sequel to Onimusha, of course, by Capcom. I don't recall that I've played Onimusha at all. Mafia the Old Country, that's the next thing in the Mafia series. If you watch the trailer for it, apparently there's a bit of a spoiler alert, apparently. So I haven't played any of the Mafia games. I don't really like playing the bad guys. Lies of P Overture. We have a launch trailer. It's a Souls-like style game. It's a DLC for the Lies of P. I tried the demo, and I wasn't very good at that kind of thing. The closest thing I've played to something like that was the... not Jedi Survivor. I haven't played that one yet. That's on my list. But what was the one before that? Another Star Wars game. Wow. I completely forgot, but I did play that one, and it was a Souls-like style game, which means the combat can be very, very challenging, and a lot of people really enjoy that. I think I mainly got through that one because it was a Star Wars game, and I wanted to play it. Dying Light: The Beast, which I think this is like, well, it's the third game in that series, arrives August 22nd. There we go. And this is actually some gameplay footage. I've never played any Dying Light games. I might enjoy it, though. I don't know. It's a lot of parkour and zombie conquered world kind of thing. Code Vein 2, never even heard of Code Vein 1. This is from Bandai Namco. It's currently in the works, and it looks slightly less vampiric, it says here in Polygon. I don't know if the first one, well, I guess Code Vein, I guess that's a vampire thing. Mortal Shell 2 was also announced as a sequel to a 2020 action role-playing game, Mortal Shell, and looks pretty good, I guess, they say. And this is coming out in 2026. Some of these games that have a sequel that I haven't heard of, I could probably should go play the original. We got a sequel to Atomic Heart, which I didn't play, but I had some people say if you liked BioShock, you're probably going to enjoy Atomic Heart. There's some weird sexual themes going on, if this is the one I'm thinking of, though. But I want to check it out, though. But this is from the developer Munfish. It's a sci-fi first-person shooter. This is going to feature a living world rich with possibilities and places a heavy emphasis on story, role-playing elements, and player freedom. And this story unfolds in an alternate history world with events now expanding to a global scale, which I think is kind of what they were doing in the original, you know, the previous game. But I don't know. I don't think it went to the global scale. Munfish also has a separate MMORPG shooter set in the Atomic Heart universe called The Cube. We also have an intense game that showed up called Ill. It's a story-driven survival horror game that promises intense body horror, grotesque monsters, and relentless fear. You know, I tend into playing stuff like that. We got a Sonic Racing Cross Worlds game. This is having some guest stars from Like a Dragon, like Ichiban Kasuga, Joker from Persona 5, which I have that on my list of things to play. I have a copy of that one. Steve from Minecraft. This is supposed to launch on September 25th. I might have to try that out. I'm pretty sure Sonic the Hedgehog has got some racing games already. I've never played any of them, but I think they have some other ones, so this is part of a series, so they're keeping going with that. Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny had a reveal trailer. So SpongeBob SquarePants is about to get medieval, apparently. This is a universe-spanning mashup that brings iconic Nickelodeon heroes into a world of fantasy-style tropes and real-time RPG action. I don't know that I was really into a lot of the Nicktoons, so I don't know that that's really my thing. End of the Abyss is a sci-fi action RPG from Section 9 Interactive, set to launch in 2026 for pretty much everything, except for it doesn't list the Switch, because, oh god, the Switch 2 just not quite keeping up with the other consoles, is it? Marvel Cosmic Invasion, this is also from Tribute Games. This is a superhero-themed beat-em-up. They've announced a couple extra characters, Rocket Raccoon and She-Hulk. I would kind of like to have regular Hulk if we can get two. I mean, I like She-Hulk just fine, but regular Hulk would be great. But previous characters in here, we got Spider-Man, we've got a Captain Marvel, we got a Nova, which it's a very long hair. It's not a Nova, I recognize, but Nova, you know, passes on the things and stuff. But Wolverine's in there, Venom, Captain America, and Storm. And some of these characters, it looks like their fighting style has been pulled, or their animations look very similar to some of the old arcade games like Spider-Man from Marvel Super Heroes, and that's how Cap looks like and fighting, you know, the old Capcom games. It looks like they looked at some of the fighting moves that are in that and kind of gave those as part of your combos. I am pretty excited for that one. I'm not sure exactly when this game comes out, but I'm looking forward to it. Wu-Tang. Yeah, another Wu-Tang game. When was the last time Wu-Tang had a game? Because I actually made a game for them, and I guess they're still around. But the Rise of the Deceiver sounds like something like about the Antichrist coming along. But the same with their home of Shaolin, the Wu-Tang clan must pass their fantastic powers to a new generation of warriors. This is from developer Brass Line Entertainment. So, I know there was another Wu-Tang clan somewhere. Chrono Odyssey. This is from Kakao Games. It's an action-packed MMORPG. Now, this one's weird. Muppets inspired boxing. Felt that. Okay, felt. Get it? Felt boxing. And looking at the image of that, it looks like you've got almost like puppets. Yeah.
And this plays off Jeff Kiley's love of puppets. So it's puppets that appear to be boxing. You know, it's weird enough. I think I'm going to play it. Out of Words is one that is a co-op platform adventure about the doubt and confusion that comes with communicating first-time love. According to its creators, Out of Words is coming to PS5, Windows PC via the Epic Games Store, and Xbox Series in 2026. Infinitesimals, I guess that's how you say this. This is a grounded style adventure, grounded scale, which grounded, I think, is where you were shrunk down. I didn't play that one. Looked kind of neat, though. I need to play it sometime. You'll play Captain Ockney in his search for a new home for his people in Infinitesimals from Qubit Studios. This is coming via the Epic Game Store in 2026. Hitman World of Assassination is going to have a Lashif level from Casino Royale. You know, he's the bad guy. Mads Mikkelsen played him, and he's actually Mads Mikkelsen is reprising the role from Casino Royale, a James Bond movie. Now, the interesting thing about this is announced about the same time, but I think like a day before, IOI, who's been making these Hitman games, has announced that they have a James Bond game in the works, which really fits with the style of game that Hitman is. So a James Bond game played kind of like that sounds pretty cool with, you know, a few extra gadgets. And it's supposed to be like an early, very young James Bond, like he's still like a Navy commander and he's working his way to get his 007 moniker or number. He's, you know, but there's probably, I think a double knot, you know, from Beverly Hillbillies. They don't double knot spy. I think somebody in there has betrayed MI6. It seems to be part of the story. It's Light of something. I forgot the name of it. And I don't have it on this list here, but pretty excited to check that one out. Wildgate has an open beta launching July 22nd. It's a first person shooter from Dreamhaven and developer Moonshot Games. Ark Raiders from Embark Studios, long awaited. It's coming out October 30th. And a virtual reality Deadpool thing, which we're not going to talk a whole lot about because holy cow, is that ever going to be raunchy as heck. There are some other sort of video game news. SAG-AFTRA there's been a strike amongst the video game voice actors. This strike actually began like July 26, 2024. So it's almost been a year. They're almost apparently though close to some sort of an agreement. So there's a tentative agreement with various gaming studios and publishers. It's been negotiating now for months, and maybe we'll see an end to this. I think I've seen some voice actors still have some things on there about being on strike. So I'm sure it has slowed down a little bit of game production. Some games have been able to go on, but I guess you have to be quiet about it if you're still working stuff, because some people will be mad at you through the SAG-AFTRA. You know, it's a big complicated thing. I'm not sure what all it was that they were after. But it is expected the terms of a strike suspension agreement will be finalized with employers soon, according to a press release. Until such agreement is reached, however, SAG-AFTRA members will remain on strike against these employers. And I think it's only very specific employers that they had some issues with. So I have some other news that's not video game news. I'm going to jump over to where I had some more things from Square Enix. There we go. So Square Enix had announced two all-new game tie-in books for Final Fantasy 16 that is going to arrive in 2026. A Logos, World of Final Fantasy 16, coming over in English. This uncovers the secrets of Velasthea and its inhabitants in an expansive compilation, written from perspective of Velasthean scholar and hideaway lordsman Harpocrates II, Hyperboreos. This compendium will take readers on an exclusive deep dive into Final Fantasy 16's rich lore. It might be interesting. I did enjoy that game. There's also an art book, the English version. A lot of these get released in Japan, and then you have to wait for an English version. I'm still waiting for a compendium for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, or they call it like the Material Ultimatum. I have two of them for Remake, and it has some stuff that you will find in Rebirth, but they did apparently release some sort of book from Rebirth in Japan, but we don't have anything yet in the States in English. And so I'm waiting on that one because I would like to pick up that book because I enjoyed going through these other ones. Xbox is going to get Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake, which I didn't realize they hadn't gotten. I mean, it's been on PC, but now we're finally getting it over officially onto an Xbox. Of course, we know that these are coming to the Switch 2. I haven't heard anything about Final Fantasy 16 coming to the Switch 2, but I would think it might be on the way. It's possible, but probably not. So 16 was a pretty good game. Killer Inn was something they talked about at the Summer Games Fest. This is a life thrilling game of life or death, and Killer Inn players will be put with their social deduction skills to the ultimate test as they unravel secrets, form alliances, and survive the night. Eager players can sign up now for upcoming closed beta tests on Steam. I don't know if this is coming to PlayStation. I would hope so. This is going to have some dynamic social deduction. Lambs must work together to scour the castle for resources and investigate clues from slain players to deduce and hunt down the killer while also seeking their escape. Meanwhile, wolves must put on a convincing show to gain trust, all while covering their tracks and continuing their killing spree until there are no lambs left alive. So apparently you have lambs and you have wolves, and so you're all set against each other and you're trying to figure out who is who. And so you've got 24 players. They're all invited to a mysterious castle by a shadowy organization known as Astra. You're competing to win unfathomable riches. They will be randomly and secretly assigned one of two roles. Wolves, whose mission is to hunt and kill the lambs, who must fight back and survive the mayhem or escape the castle. Players must use every weapon, tool, and clue in their arsenal to survive and win. With the killers hiding in plain sight, players will need to question everything, even their closest allies. By the end of the night, all players must kill or be killed or escape the madness. Sounds pretty interesting. I would probably just get slaughtered by other people on a computer. Kids are better at that than I am, and I'm not a kid anymore. I'm, you know, we have the Neverland vow of never growing up, but I am 48 years old now. So, okay. Final Fantasy Tactics, The Invalis Chronicles. That's an enhanced version of Legendary RPG. It's coming to all major platforms September 30th. I never got to play any Final Fantasy Tactics, but I guess this is a collection of all the games. From what I'm understanding. So this includes enhanced and classic versions of the game. Enhanced version features modern upgrades and quality of life changes, including fully voiced characters, a ground up graphical overhaul, and an updated user interface to make Final Fantasy Tactics The Invalis Chronicles the perfect entry point to the tactical RPG classic for new players. The classic version is a nostalgic recreation of the game developed for older players who want to experience the original Final Fantasy Tactics from 1997. So I don't know how many games in the Tactics series there were, but, I guess it's similar to that. And I heard something about Cloud and Aerith actually make appearances in this. So, yeah, here it is. Cody Christian and Brianna White are back playing as Cloud and Flower Peddler, which I've seen some images of the old game that was kind of a little side thing. Ben Starr is voicing a character, of course, because Ben Starr is now popping up in everything that they do. And he's a lot of fun, that guy. He's a talented actor, and he's just very charismatic. Also, Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake. I do have one Dragon Quest game that I went ahead and bought because I found it cheap. I think it's like the 10th one or something. And I was like, okay, I've never played any of these. Let me try this out. But we are going to get... in Japan, May 27th, 1986, I guess when the original was, and about October 30th, 2025, we're about to get this remake of 1 and 2. Oh, and I guess there is also 3 coming. That's going to be on Nintendo Switch 2, on the regular Switch, PlayStation 5, Xbox, PC via Steam, and of course the Microsoft Store on Windows. Digital pre-orders have already started on this one. So this would be something I probably would be interested in checking out. With the remake, I wonder, though, do we have some voices going on here? Because, yeah, 1 and 2, remake standard edition physical game. There's going to be character Monster Blocks complete set. An outstanding outfit kit with some extra games for the remake. Some digital wallpapers, some pre-order bonuses. Players who own the full Erdrick trilogy can unlock a dog suit to wear in Dragon Quest 1 and a cat suit to wear in Dragon Quest 2. To continue the DQ Day celebration, Dragon Quest 3 remake can now be purchased for 25% off for a limited time. Does that mean you can like order all of these? I don't know, but I'm kind of interested in checking that out just because if I like the one that I was looking at now, I might be interested in that. But it looks like we've only been going for about 27 minutes, so let's take a quick break and hear from some of our sponsors if you happen to not be one of our Red Circle exclusive members or Patreon members, you'll hear an ad. Oh, before we get to the ad, let me just say James Gunn actually did say something in Entertainment Weekly that Wonder Woman is a separate thing from the upcoming HBO series Paradise Island, which centers on the Amazons of Themyscira, but he has acknowledged the series is slow moving and it's moving, but we are working on a Wonder Woman movie. We also hear something about a Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow starring Millie Alcock. It was supposed to premiere June 2026. And a Batman film inspired by Grant Morrison's Batman and Son story is also expected. But we do have a Wonder Woman film apparently looking to come around. Of course, previously we had Gal Gadot working with Patty Jenkins, and they had a Wonder Woman 3 that got canceled because that second one was really not any good. The first one, I loved it. The second one was not good at all. So, there is some more DC films. But let me go ahead and real quick and tell you about Dubby before we break for some ads here. Dubby, of course, you'll find at NeverlandPodcast.com. You'll find a big Dubby logo. You click that there, or if you go to Dubby.gg, use the discount code Neverland. If you need to get you something to drink that's going to give you some energy that will not give you the jitters, this is what you need. You need some drink powder from W. You just mix it in some water. It's got some healthy vitamins and stuff like that to give you some real energy and not the jitters. That is W. Lots of flavors to choose from, even some cups and things that you can get. And of course, if you go and you'll be doing me a favor, if you order it with my discount code, they'll give me a little something for it. So go and check that out. But now let's take a quick break and we'll come right back with hearing from Melody Britt.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So, whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
To Planet Comic-Con! How are we doing today, guys? So I'm saying first day, first jitters, you know, we're getting out. This is so exciting! Well, guys, it's very exciting to be with you all here today. So without further ado, let's kick off this panel off right. Joining us at the stage, please help me welcome actress, voice actress, and princess of power. Give it up for Melody Britt.
Thanks.
Melody, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm so excited to be here. I think this in you. The gorgeous architecture, which I see outside of the hotel, which is amazing. And it was here convention. It's not a convention center.
So this is the convention center. Yeah. Are you talking about the building that's right next to you? It? Oh, my God. Was it like a, is that like a museum?
I think it's the arts center.
So wait, what are we talking about? For locals, like natives are here. The building that looks like, I don't know, like a giant. They're almost croissants.
Performing Arts Center?
Oh, is it known as the Performing Arts Center? Is the one that's kind of turns maybe what's up?
Yes, and it's supposed to be kind of representative of chefs of whichever people it is. It's just gorgeous, whatever it is. Beautiful. The architecture is gorgeous. Yeah, anyway. Thank you for inviting me here.
What's up? It's a ballet opera house.
Just really
in that house.
How proud you all must be of that place. It's gorgeous.
Have you ever been to Kansas City?
Well, I think I was here at least 30 years ago, but I don't remember anything about it. But that, well, of course, it wasn't even here then. I'm shocked. But what a beautiful city.
Oh, they're all gorgeous. I say, Planet Comic-Con, this is our, 26th, 27th year?
1999.
How incredible is that, dear?
Well, this is the 40th year of Shura. How incredible.
So kind of getting to that, before we get too carried away though, guys, ladies and gentlemen, this show is not just for you guys. You guys can be a part of it. Since we have a little more of an intimate setting here in this panel room, if you guys would like to either line up in this middle aisle or just raise your hand, we can do our very best to spot you. And you guys can feel free to ask your questions for Melendi Britt. So, without further ado, 40th year of She-Ra. When you were cast as the titular character, did you have any fear that this character would be as beloved as she ended up being?
Well, beloved, yes, but not for as long. I remember back in the with the 80s, and I had done some black television actors, and then I had started going to voiceovers because we were, you know, as an actor, you kind of cycle wheel. You just kind of thought that they would do all kinds of things because they're part of your own creation. And I knew She-Ra was going to be special. I done a work of filmation before. I did I had done Snow White Christmas playing with Queen, and then I did with Flash Carmel before then or after She-Ra. But here's the interesting story about how I got the role. Back in the day, you would go to your agency and they would be sent a script. And so everybody would audition. And they were on these big two-reel things, you know, I mean, really bad all day. And then they would send all those tapes to the producers. And then you were to basically hire. Well, that one was different. Yes, we not the script. And I was called in again, which was highly unusual to the producer. And that was Bill Scheinberg. And I thought, she's in this good. And I thought, well, it's because it's a series that's going to be the first anime female superhero. There was one woman, now an anime superhero. So I went there, and Lou was very serious talking to me about She-Ra and how important she was and what it meant to be She-Ra. And it really kind of made me sit up and think. And I thought, oh, Jackie. And then I could hear anything. And then just last year, I found out Erica Schein, who was so shy to storm, and who worked for them at the time, rubbish. They were trying to decide who should play this pivotal, iconic role. And I had worked with them before, as well as another Eric. And Erica said, Melendi, gosh, we can do this. She's the only one who should do this role. And she said, I just talked to Eric last week, and for the first time, 34 years. And she said that my dad was so upset that I went against his first choice. Okay. She said, I almost lost my job from it. She started threatening me. She said, no, can you finally real? And I was the one who should be doing She-Ra. And Linda would be doing and Buchanan as the other character. So that was really very special. Then I was called in to Mattel to see the toy. All of a sudden I went, this is pretty special.
Yeah. That is my character, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm very, very honored to be here. And we had an incredible time during that period of time, recording all those voices. It was great. Had a great cast.
It was true.
Or pressing rings. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm bleeding now. So with that, to touch on this a little bit with impact of She-Ra. I mean, yes, she's a beloved character, very interesting character, very pivotal.
He was a big scandal.
But she was so much more to me, right? She was one of the first, in fact, the first animated heroines out there, really in pop culture. So with that, did that kind of give you a little bit more, did that drive you to give a better performance, or did that make you maybe add a little pressure to the situation?
Make of the pressure and a little odd, but as an actor, it just made you want to do it more. Just want to do it. To make you get the best you could, you know, which we always do. we always want to work best because it's our work, our gift. And but when this way, I knew she was special, but no clue she would be so special for so long. I tell you, so nope.
Well, that's part of the job, right? Like as an actor, you're supposed to be able to invoke this emotion, invoke some sort of feeling to the audience.
For sure. And you don't have an animation, you don't have anything but your voice. Oh, and shit, you know, they don't see you. They see an animated character.
One kind of leaning to that a little bit. I mean, have you had any experience voicing an animated character before this point?
Yeah, I voiced a lot of things.
There's so many.
Yeah, there were a lot of the minor characters. So, but the foxes, some squirrel, all kinds of things. And then some, I guess, a fractured man, as a plastic man. I was doing a clay penny at the cheese that went on Dolly's iPhone. I read some
somebody called me.
Oh, yeah, in that world, Batman and Catwoman did that. And then, as I say, the Snow White, Briscoe, and so on, and others too, and classic. But that's all.
So, with it back, I did want to ask, was Chopin's always plan growing up, or did something happen later on in life that kind of shot in your memory? It's like, oh, this is what I was.
Well, when I was a little girl, I think we should always listen to our children as to what they want to be. I wanted to be embarrassed at the same. So as it turned out, Hira helped you the hearts of many and also was a voice. So a very important voice, not necessarily singer, voice for heralds. Anyway, but when I was 13, no, first. Yeah. So 12. When I was 12, my girlfriend's mother was about to take her daughter to a play night. And so I said, oh, can I come with you? Yeah. I said, okay. She said, why don't you go? She said, okay. So I went up there and I got the part. And it was part of Young Guinevere. So it came on the
bridge.
So after the performances, kids come backstage and they looked at me as if I was really like a princess. And I was like, that was really incredible. So then, strangely enough, I decided there was a show, a live show, when I was growing up in Texas. And I was, well, better. And in that show, you used to think to do, like, so then I milk and can box, real bottle of cats. And on your tops and the bottom caps is predation milk. They were called Looney Bucks. You could save these bucks and go to this television station, this local television station, and they would have what they, you could give it to this, and then you would get a prize, and you would get a prize at that within auction. Then you put gift cards, you had to this tree that as many pinches or quarters or whatever it was there. So I thought, I want to do that. And so I had just turned 12. I said, well, I'm just turning 12. And so I said it was my birthday. And so I went in and did my thing. I got it. And it, as I was leaving the studio, the man,
Uncle Bert,
he was the moderator. And he said, excuse me, little lady. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said,
my car, I found out.
How old are you? Because I said, I'm really 12 and I hung up. And he said, it's okay. He said, it's okay. By the way.
You let it fly.
Yeah. By the way, you were in the hotel? And we're, what? He said, yeah. Dude, what do you do? I said, I've been seeing. So he said, come back. Yeah, I said, it's okay. And sing for us, son. Okay. So I told my mom. We went over there and I said, Tammy, this song, Tim. And sure enough, they hired me to be the girl who would tell about the prizes. And so I my show I'd stand behind this counter with all these prizes on, and would, you know, dad show the prizes. I'd be in his heart, sort of said, what do sausages work? So that's how my career started. And then, when I was 14, they said, you want to be the co-hostess of a teen type part, like America Expands?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yeah. And that's it, what started. And then I started hearing plays. And it was just, it was a good, it was a gift from the heavenly. And then I was singing in something and then thought out weird. It just, that's the way it happened.
Kind of also.
It was just kind of a destiny, strangely enough.
So you mentioned, like, at that point, you start getting more and more.
Yeah.
And you even start getting small on screen votes. What's your first on the screen?
The first on screen vote was in a movie because a man saw me and I'm in a reservoir department, an agent. And she said, I think you should cut it to how it.
Do you really want to put up other all of these just chains of tatters?
She had the same show and he said, I think you should come to, you better come down because I was 24. He said, you're looking at an old. I swear it's not much. It's
getting about Hollywood.
You're getting, yes, Red Hope. So I said, okay. So we really moved to Hollywood. I had two sugar, two babies. And, within Hollywood, and first of all, was in a movie called The Lawyer. Yeah, it's called The Lawyer, I believe.
In?
Interesting. What? Did somebody get
that? Oh, no! My man.
Thank you so much. Three with the advice. Was Sydney Fury with that one?
Excellent.
Because I remember, did you remember? Fury.
I saw what your name was.
Oh,
let's go ahead.
Harney Newman, Harold Grill, yeah. Grill.
Right, but anyway, you're supposed to go. I think it was actually spread down. It was supposed to come out. In that time, you cannot do, if you find it yourself, you didn't do television. You didn't do everything. Yes, was very specialized because there was a hierarchy of us. And yeah, Lawrence Olivier. Famous British actor did a Polaroid commercial that everybody went, well, he can do like a rich tune, and we're not about that. So then I started to do commercials, and the film started coming out for a year. Jericho film and Bright. And then I did another film, I'll Be There, Mike Swanner's film with Peter Sellers to show it, Frank. And some others, I think a couple of others, I don't really write out some lot of television.
So making that kind of jump, I mean, sorry, it was early as like 10, like 12, all the way to even past it. Oh, it was it just the age? He's like, did it happen? Like, you had chicken. But...
Mm-hmm.
So with all of this happening in like pretty recent succession overall, was there improv being worked over out to?
Yeah, but fortunately, I got so embraced with some Harvard value. Just had two children, they had more, you know. So I was never able to do what the Hollywood life was in order to propose it to be here. I could take somebody and say, get in there, or die, and so
work all day,
and all this stuff.
Work all day, party all
day. Yeah, no, it's good help. And I didn't want to take her already. It was surrounding space.
But if I get the family bones,
yeah, I thought this.
Well, that's one of the things, and especially with new actors, agree. Like, the grounding probably takes you a long way.
You need a lot of.
I got something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what do you really think about? I mean, you were like, right there in front of the spotlight, and like everybody off the crew and cast like treats you like your absolute royalty. Having that little bit of touch point there to kind of make sure you're stay grounded, stay humble.
Yeah, so I go. I think I recognized, even though you would talk about treaties like, well, I recognized that it was a group act. I've been very grateful that I didn't have to worry about myself. Never worried about how I felt. All I had to worry about was my heart in depth.
Broken up.
Which is enough. to be really honest, that's the most exciting thing about to be part of
this.
That's the best.
Well, and you see at the end of these episodes, the end of these movies, like these long, just seeming
and everything goes beautiful.
Very important. Like, yeah, you even see like best boy or an assistant to so and so, and like, you know, I'm always considering like, what is that role? So it really does take village or increase
to die at village.
So going back a little bit to She-Ra, so you had on screen front of cameras work for She-Ra and other characters that you had voiced, and in their essence, you are mainly utilizing your voice. Now this has come to a little bit more spotlight recently. Voice actors having a little more time for the limelight, and the people that support them, sound engineers, directors. Was it very much the case when you started voicing She-Ra that people were kind of like not really looking at the impact that some of the other supporting roles played at the fashion?
And teach us to watch me. That then, again, another wonder that we were able to do with Dalmatian, because it was a small white wood company, as most of the television done back then or animated things were done with the old cats, like the
ones.
Everyone we did not know, I've done for the video games too. You go in and you get a character just seen by touch. And in where we voiced, when we get She-Ra, we would come to everyone, we would have a script. All of us sit around the table and we would read through the script and get all the laughs out. Because working with those guys, you see, they're with. And Alan Jean Ticker, by the way, he wishes he could meet
Stay.
And he had me said, I have to tell her, I can't say it's a family name. I have to tell her I'm not able to come because the kid had been on it that morning. And doing better, if it's for yes. But he was so sad and got you disappointed. So then he really loved you all with us, the laughing bit too. So I want you to go ahead. Good.
So the question was, how seamless was it working all of these different moving parts?
It was great because the cast was so, we became a unit. We became a family of the characters. And when we're trying to incorporate the character you study, it's much better when you can actually talk to the other person who you're supposed to be relating to, because they give you the energy that they're sending, and you can send back the truth more powerful
than
you've had with your character.
On voice acting, ensemble cast made it so powerful.
Yeah.
Right? Especially now that the voice software, as we call it, so expands.
Exactly.
So now you're playing off on other people's productions. I mean, the fact that they did the ensemble recording for this really shows.
It does. I think it does. It gives it more heart, to be really honest. Really does, I think.
So just as a reminder, guys, this show is not just for you guys. You guys can also be a part of it at any point throughout this interview. If you guys would like to ask a question, please just feel free to raise your hand. We'll call it. Yes, sir. What's your name?
My name's Eric.
Hey, Eric. Eric, what's your question?
So you did a lot of different voices on She-Ra. Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite? And if it was She-Ra, who was your second favorite?
I love them all. I really did, except for Amanda Hart. She killed my voice. That's whatever. I think I like House of Spell. I love House of Spell. And Mermista, I love Mermista because she had the worst French accent in the entire world. And of course, Catherine, who had the most annoying
course
into my words. So I really, I love them all. I do agree.
Thank you. Great question.
Yes. What's your name?
Brenna.
Hey, hi, Brenna. Brenna, what's your question?
A lifetime fan. I was just say, I still have my She-Ra doll, and mm-hmm. my mom made me a She-Ra costume for Halloween that I wear every year until I get split the
seams.
But Catwoman, did you audition for that, or did they have their eye on you already for that?
For the Batman series?
Yeah. What was your casting process like for that?
Back then?
Yeah.
The same thing. You had it was on two real thing. What did they call that?
Like, sir, the cover, I tell you.
Yeah. And we would do an audition, and they would send a tape of everybody to the producers, and the producers would choose. And they chose, which was really nice. Yeah.
It's all the bad record.
Yeah. Hi,
Tim. Comment is RJ.
Hey,
okay. I was wondering, what did you think of the ink share that you bought recently? Out of that, to see it, all your thoughts on.
Well, a lot of people have asked about this, and to me, it's not Shira. It's not based on any other original Shira concepts. However, because Netflix or because it's Reversal owns Survivor's Change, they reuse it. I wish they had called to something else because it's not the series.
And then I think,
Like
I get back in the side piece, but we get some story. Why?
Exactly. And it would stand on its own. I guess why wish you've named it something else?
This was.
Did they get any Dwayne, like, any contact you, even as character reference?
Oh, no. No, as I say, they wanted it to be there. So that's why I wish they had Brisbane, eh? If it would stand on its own, or would ever get, wanted to.
It was She-Ra being such a beloved franchise. Like, I mean, I can understand. At least probably.
You know, that's great. That's going to be why she did it for the towel.
No artistic integrity. Yes, sir. All the way to that. I am so sorry. Yes, ma'am. What's your name? Anna. Anna, sorry. The hat threw me a fair bit. What's your question?
I was wondering if you had a favorite recording set in story to tell.
Well, some of them, there was so many. I laughed so much on so much stuff. I guess it's the time that it had to be John. I loved him for so many reasons. John, I run. Just asked. But I loved him for so many reasons. Body parts were. When Alan would start ad libbing. And I guess it's the day he decided to say, you want it.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. Hi, Brandon. What's your question?
I grew up with five girl cousins, and they won't be here today, but if they were here today, if they would say thank you very, very much for those. Very camera is perfectly down. So just say, can I have the girl cast? I did want to ask you one fun question, maybe one serious question, Kel. A fun question. Do you have a favorite piece of She-Ra memorabilia at home that is like in a personal altar or anything like that? It's on.
Well, honestly, I have a She-Ra doll. I have a She-Ra for an original She-Ra doll and an original cast of spells. An original Swift Wind and
for another one.
I didn't do it. They're all played.
Yeah, you with me?
I didn't realize that they would be showering.
Isaac's 20s, right?
Yeah, so it's the more thoughtful question. Sometimes performers, when they're known for like one defining role or primary defining role, they can have like mixed thoughts, experiences, feelings about that as they move through life. So can you maybe talk about your version of that?
Okay, I love that question because it's something I thought about. And so that somebody asked me at another convention, what role would you have liked to play in your life? There that you had not thought to play. And as I got older, what I realized is that whatever has touched more people's hearts and lives is the most important forward matter fled. And for Sapaki Shira. I mean, in that case, at this age, and having looked at my life, makes me want to cry because after 4 years, he was still up. So how dare I want any other role? It just happened on my series. I did another thing that I loved doing, I did a public service abutment for a suicide prevention. That means a lot to me. And one other role that I think, and I'll call it mother, and that one is also important. So those are the three. She was, it was, because it has been, I thought it can last so long.
Well, you know, that's out here and to see, in fact, massive generations of
hands out.
You'll see people older cosplay. You'll see people 3 to 4 years old, probably just becoming cognitive of what it takes to watch a show, dressing up as She-Ra.
It's an incredible character. It really is. It's really an amazing gift. Truly a gift. 10-year-old gift to me.
Yes, ma'am. What's your name?
Danae.
Hey, Danae. What's your question?
So She-Ra became a real role model for a lot of girls. How do you feel about being such an impact on so many females, especially back in the 80s?
Well, I always have to remember, it's not me, She-Ra, the character She-Ra. And for me, I was going through a very rough time.
Like we were recording
She-Ra. And to have to say all those positive, reinforced, bring values was very helpful for me. So I know that whatever I send to people through my heart with those words in that series is and was very important
for us.
I know that. And I've been told by so many throughout.
I'm definitely one that She-Ra is. I put on all my things in front of us. Who was your role model? I'm like, She-Ra.
Because she had a lot of love to say. And she said it in a way that was not threatening. She said it in a loving way, but, and I think that's what was most important. It showed a real depth. That's why.
It was also a depth and a sense of power that just was not present during that age.
Well, I think a lot of women had suppressed their power because maybe they were afraid of it. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I just felt she was a great thought, real about. I take some.
Yes, sorry.
Hi, my name is Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And my brother's fever with me.
Hi.
We came all from Minnesota to come see you today.
Oh, why? Thank you.
It's such an honor to meet you. Thank you for all of us entertaining. And the values, the kids that grew up in the 80s, all of us here. You set the tone for our lives, partially, and we always remember the good lesson of the cartoon.
That's what we're not.
Through all the show, can you share a story about John, how he really take that to heart? I mean, sure, he did to resemble the good He-Man, to be this magical guy, and then to have you come with Jarrett to be as equal to be awesome as him together. Just what he stood for and what, you know, what kind of guy he was and everything. And I have one request, if you feel up to it before we go. Could you do the For the Honor of Greece stuff? Before we go.
Okay. I look at the back, top of all wood.
You know, it's okay. Go ahead.
You want to go? We'll stop.
Okay.
But I want to be better about John.
Yeah.
John, I don't know me. If she could have met every one of me, as many as I met, as many as out, I think we came if I be able to understand what his voice and what he said has meant to so many people. He was a very, very private man. And he never did cards because he just, they don't see babies. As it jumps in, of course they want to see you. They don't kiss it, but all of us. And I said, do you think they want to see me? Did they think I'm sure? No. But John, when we were working, as I said, it was a very difficult time for me. He was really like with the gay friends. He, when I was having the down day, he picked me up. Just like so into the child of his voice. He looked like few words. what is the mixed? Was just amazing. I mean, how people do it. There's a beautiful, beautiful year. Every part of that show.
Climate compressor.
Is that
a Jeff? Yeah. Just some Jeff of that's great.
Thank you for your question, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What's your
name? Yeah, my name is Jeremy. I was wondering about what the pressure might have been like, I mean, considering the success that they'd had with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and now you've got this spinoff series you're going into, and even a fantastic movie that was also the miniseries with the Secret of the Sword. How much pressure was there on, you know, you trying to follow up like and be just as cool as He-Man was? Like, now we've got this new toy line, and we've got to make sure that people are into this too. So what was that like?
Well, it's very funny. I did that. Speak for adapters. It's not about seeing. It's about doing the best you can do. It's not about comparing to anything except the job you're doing. It's like, well, because somebody said, whether you're playing tennis, don't play to win. Do your job. Do it your best, and you can do, which is exactly what I did. And I think, to be really honest, if you think about, if anyone thinks about, well, I want to do it better than that, it limits you. If you do the best you can do, you're going to do the best. And, I mean, yes, I've had many, many fine people to look up to, but never, I don't want to actually go through it. It'll tell.
Something to be said about like a healthy rivalry, sure. But when you start, I agree with you, when you start comparing yourself to what are we doing better than this person, X, Y, Z, it kind of means like, okay, but you're not really checking your full potential.
Yeah, well, I don't use the word right either. We're all in this together. We're all doing this to break the same business. We're doing it together. So whatever these people do, inspires me. Whatever I do inspires you. It's all a giving. And really, that
she really is, Shira. Excellent question. So let's see what over here. Yes, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
Wanted to start, my mom with a huge fan. She grew up on you, but she introduced He-Man and She-Ra to both me and my brothers. We grew up very blessed, and this was a cartoon we bonded over, so I wanted to
thank you so much. I'm so glad.
Not in series, but a little bit of a silly. Both me and my mom will follow my boy character, so what's your opinion on the character looking?
Nookie.
The little guy?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Those always clown.
Said, he was very sweet, very big deal. He's kind of like a puppy dog guy. You know? Okay. And so it's like, oh, wow, very cool.
My mom have yet met because she'd be like, I'm staring at it. I can't find it. And it'll pop out. So he's a great bunch.
Okay, so.
Thanks,
you. Thanks.
In the back, what's your name?
Sia.
Hey. What's your question?
One thing of the cartoons are like it is, sorry, I'm nervous.
You're doing a great job, man.
I'm nervous too.
The fact that voice actors played so many roles when saying cartoons just amazes you. The range, the talent. How did you approach that? How did you approach playing so many different characters? That like, you know, your punch up.
Like the gratitude. And it caught to the universe because I think back in the day, you weren't comparing Javelin unless you could do at least three characters. So that you were expected to be able to do three characters. And then what happened with this She-Ra series is that they'll put in a new character and we just find out of that launch. So, yeah. And the we did the script before we took him using animation, except no She-Ra. So these larger characters, we didn't know what they were like till that very morning. And like on some of the characters I did, it was literally like just blinking out of my head. It just hope for the best. It was really the crew guys.
Was there ever a point, did you guys follow the script pretty closely, or was there ever any point where you were able to ad-lib some things to do something?
I'm not really able to. But we had to cut a lot out. We did ad-lib stuff, but most of the time we didn't need to, because the story's so compact.
Structured.
Yeah, structured. And it was so written so well, completely didn't to a bunch, you know. Yes.
What's your name? Yeah, who'd you rather?
Bethany.
Hey, Bethany, here's your question.
I've been a fan from the beginning. I ran around with my sword and shields till they fell apart, and I actually still have a costume to this day, so I want to thank you for being a huge part of my life.
Thank you so much.
But when you took on the role of She-Ra at first, did you know that Adora and Adam would be siblings?
Oh, yeah. We knew that they were twins, brother and sister. And then that Hordak took She-Ra away and kidnapped literally. So when they were brought back together, that's one of my favorite episodes when we were reunited. So look at that. Yeah. Show me if I don't answer the questions.
See you in the back by the eye. What's your name?
Keith.
David, what's your question?
I was beginning to find stories about working in Adolesk and Bert War and Bastion in our head.
Oh, yeah. Well, Adam and Bert were just really terrific guys. Adam was very serious about Bert. Very, very, very serious. Very much a gentleman. And he really set the tone for that show. And I as an actor, I felt exactly, I knew my place. I knew what I was supposed to do. And I knew how to react, you know. Again, another private man. But very nice. Very, very nice man. It was totally different from She-Ra. Way bigger.
What do you get out in suit?
So, thank you.
Was it Howie Flygrip? Also, in the guest still that? Or Lady Winegrip?
Lady Winegrip, yeah. Lenny was a fun joint. It was fun. Anyway, you did your Rick candidate. Yeah.
Yeah, another question.
Yeah.
Hi. With She-Ra being as perfect as she is, was there anything that you contributed to the character that she appeared in any way that any ideas of art on any other of the characters that you put? Any kind of qualities or characteristics you felt like needed to be added?
No. I really don't think so.
I think so, ain't clever.
But,
yes,
please. No, but again, all the minor characters are with the cast. They were. See, it's not quite doing animation. It's a quite as layer as doing an acting job with your singer face and your mouth. There's so many things where you only have the orbs, the hues, the thousands. It has to stay pretty much according to what the voice can say. You have different things like it's seeing me. Then I can move you. Yeah, I can do all kinds of things, which probably sometimes you do when you're voice, but it has to come to his hold on.
The bell.
That's a little different to look at
on camp.
So we talked a lot about the impact of She-Ra, also the fact that she was a role model. So many people, especially with it, Betty. I was curious though, as they individual literally breathed life to this character. What are some of your favorite aspects of She-Ra?
I think the favorite aspects of She-Ra, not to be evil, because it's like saying, which is your favorite part of Bob?
Hello. Make it your favorite then.
Yeah, took your favorite finger, finding, you know, favorite arm, and it, they all went together. That's what made She-Ra. The fact that she could win that without a killing, 15 days, and that she had such a wit, and that she would come against that the shattered half the product enemies, for instance, that in the episode, my friend by an enemy. Believe it is. They were asked, she was asked by somebody, why are you crying? It's what work. That's what that is. Supposed to be dead. And she said, because if I don't, no one else will help.
Well, meaning
keeping that man, you know? So those are the kind of things, this kind of other world, Tasha, for humanity. Pretty much. I think negative to you like it.
Trace of your author.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that I'm not She-Ra. I've learned it. She just as lovers.
I did have one last question before we wrap things up. Now, we as Comic-Con are here for a whole host of reasons, whether it's just meet our favorite celebrities, buy some cool stuff over at the Venture Hall.
I want to see your friend.
But there's a lot of people here that are actually here to learn from some of the industry greats, from the leaders. So I was curious to ask you, as somebody who's worked in the industry for many years, for somebody who might want to take the lead and to pursue their dream of acting, what are some tips that you might tell them that make you wish you knew them, sir?
I thought, for me, I mean, you can go. I think one of the most important things to do as an actor to learn means to go to an acting class. And it's no longer voiceover. It's voice, even at commercials. But the truth is, as children, first of all, don't lose a child within you. Because as children, we do that constantly. They do that constantly. They observe us and they take it in, whether they, if you know or not, they take for everything. And so if you're going to peel back some layers of your grown-up self, then it's kill those. That is what's so important. Just, to me, yes, and skip it. So let your instincts guide you and your feelings about. And then the part of this is a competitive business. We still have to do it if it's your passion. That's the classic. Do it if it's your passion. And it will guide. And again, then you have to get to. But you know, now that everybody has studios to call, the report on the telephone, you can send things to agents. I don't know about what it is here. That's to say, if there are agencies here, I know about that. It's better to speak to people specific where they live about how into. But go with your instincts about creating characters and watching it.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about having more technologically advanced. Assets now, because you can for, granted, a little bit of an investment to get some better equipment, but you do have access to some of the equipment that was first, kind of the barriers are a lot of inspiring.
Yeah, it was all about you.
Oh, got it. And the fact of finding people where they live, finding people that can get your foot to the door. Hey, we now have the entire library of Alexandria into the pocket of our in Charlotte.
And again, I have been classic. You to figure that the network.
I'm just
finding out how are they doing? How are you doing? How are you? Okay. I mean, you just have to learn that into this. It's just like hiring a job, any kind of job.
Well, it's good to say find where the jobs are. It's been said before that, sure, you need to be good at what you do.
Yeah.
You also need easy work.
And another quote I heard someone is, when they were looking for me, or when they were looking for someone, they weren't necessarily looking for me. So you got to show them you. It be you.
Yeah, Tim, should what you too. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, to me.
You want me to do one thing for you?
So actually, I have a fun idea for that. So we are going to be doing a stage selfie here in just a couple of seconds. Would we want to say that as the cheese?
I don't know if I can. But what I mean is, I have to start it and see if I can do it.
I've been talking.
I'm going to talk.
Okay. Do we want to try and get this out? Let's do it.
All right. I could. I am Adora. He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. Finding the secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, for the honor of Grayskull, I am Zero!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Melanie Pratt! All right, so I think Melanie and I would like to join us for a quick...
All right, before we close, I want to remind you about Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis, the award-winning podcasters, his fantastic program that you can get on it. If you happen to be a podcaster, you want to get all of your reviews sent to your email, Podgagement is the way for you. He's got a lot of other different features. I'm on the bare minimum account, but there's a lot of other different things that you can do to help your podcast out, to help give you the information you need to help it grow. I need to make some growth going on here. I'm going to try to learn some more techniques to make this podcast grow, because I want to regain, we're still building a new audience, because I lost a whole lot of people when we didn't stop doing the Disney thing. So you, for being with me, thank you for sticking around or being part of the new audience. Tell your friends and let's help grow this new audience and make the Fandom Nexus our sanctuary, a fun place to go that we can get to about every couple of weeks, because every other week we're also going to watch movies with our pastor, because I hope you're downloading and checking that one out. If you haven't checked it out yet, I invite you to do so, and hopefully you will enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's me and Pastor Philip. Sometimes I'm playing games with my wife, and sometimes I'm watching movies with Philip, because Philip has had some surgeries and things he had to get through, like some knee surgeries and stuff like that. So we let him recover. But as we're back, I do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show, all for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget to email us, podcast at neverlandpodcast.com, or follow us on x.com, NeverlandPcast. We, of course, are on Facebook for as the Fandom Nexus. Also, if you look for the group, that is under Neverland Podcast. You can become an official Neverlander on our website. Then we have, of course, Lost Boys on there. You choose yourself a nickname. We also have Pixies. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever and they don't become lost. So don't forget, you can donate on Patreon, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You'll find links for this all, of course, on neverlandpodcast.com. You can also, right there in your show notes, you'll find ways on Red Circle, where I host the show. You can become an official exclusive member. That's how you can get bonus materials. You'll also get to listen to the show without those extra ads added at the beginning, end, and middle of the show. So you definitely help me out. And also, you don't have to hear all those ads, because I have to put the ads in, because, you know, I gotta pay for the show somehow, right? No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by their respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. And now, get lost in an adventure, and we'll see you next time.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta have it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.